Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Weekend sports with a difference.
Yeah, really shouldn't be drinking.
Oh, really? You learned that in med school that you obviously didn't get into?
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers. This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
At least I have my own bed.
Your bed is a car.
Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
And Rashad Taylor.
He's a very gifted singer.
I'm really, really good.
How good?
I've been called the songbird of my generation.
Stop.
By people who've heard me. That good.
On 1080, The Fan.
Well, I wish I could say I was, I wish we had, I was more excited for the moment. Well, you know, it's a great day to live in. Live in Portland, you know, it's raining, you know, at the moment, some places. And I guess there was a big social gathering last night at the center of MoDa. And yeah, here we are, fresh off of game three, which we'll definitely get to. But I'll be honest, man, I feel like doing a lot of day drinking today.
Gosh, hey, bro.
And my guy Mike Lynch is gone. He's at a destination wedding, which Lynch just told me, what Jesse just told me, which is typical of Lynch. So I called in the homie. I wanted to hit my guy up. You know, we have some pretty good conversation. He's one of these guys that kind of, we all have a friend or somebody around us that kind of evokes some pretty good conversation and maybe an angle of a conversation you hadn't thought about. So today I figure I'd do that, and I invited my guy from Scott and Sorrell Consulting, my man, Mr. Kenny Scott. What's going on, my guy?
Hey, what's going on, bro? Thanks for having me this
man,
morning.
Man, absolutely, man. I was glad you were able to come in. Now, here's the cool part. When you ask somebody to come in and do our show or even Center and the Saint, which is on Saturdays, 9 to 11, it can be hard to find a co-host because, number one, that means you got to wake up depending on where you live at,
right?
7:30, 8 o'clock, depending on how your Saturday night went. That might not be the best idea. And you are someone who actually does a lot of club promoting and whatnot. So I know your Sunday mornings are kind of sacred.
I'll be honest with you, man. Last night, me and my girl, we were out at the Bloom collective event last night, a B-bit through this fashion show. Beautiful. But before I went, man, I watched that Blazer game. You know, so
kind of took a little bit of the edge off of going to that, took a little fun out of it, didn't it?
It did, man. But, you know, I apologize. I think I might smell like Hennessy and Lost Dreams this morning, man.
Man, you were okay, because I think I might smell a little bit like Jack Daniels, because last night, so it was, I actually had to go to the senior prom last night. So I went to Reynolds High School's prom, which was awesome, and a lot of great kids. So I didn't get a chance to see the very end of the game, but I was watching it closely on Bleacher Report, just making sure I saw the scores. Saw the stats, and I'm actually kind of glad I didn't see the end of the game. So
right.
I feel bad for whoever did see the end of the game. You can make sure you interact with us here on the Better You Today text line, 55305. You can also get at me at TaylorMade503 on Twitter. You can get at Jesse at Jesse Oz, or Jesse Osman, A-S-Z-M-A-N. What's your social medias?
Man, you can hit me on Instagram at Kenny Crush, KennyKrush.
Kenny Crush, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, I call him Crush. Like, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. I kind of forget about it and everything. But, man, we might as well just, I'm kind of avoided, but I guess people tune in for a sports show, so they kind of want to hear sports. So we might as well just go ahead and jump into it. But what I do want to do, I kind of want to go back a little bit. I don't want to talk about game three just yet. That's important. We're going to do that. But I think we need to go back a little bit further. We need to go back to Thursday night, which was game two. In my opinion, a game the Blazers should have won.
Absolutely.
They started hot second quarter. They sustained it, and they got really, really hot in the second quarter, and they ended up boasting a 17-point lead. If you're a Blazer fan in the Western Conference Finals, you know what a 15-7-point lead, you know, means for you. I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, this is where it is. This, okay, we got it. Good job, Blazers. They can't shoot with this. Steph doesn't have it tonight. You know, these are some of the tweets I was seeing. And I had to post one that says, man, anybody can, you know, build a lead on the Warriors. Can you sustain it? The third quarter is where they're special.
Right.
Unlike any other team in the league, I don't think I've ever seen another team really in basketball or in any sport like that to where they just – the fourth inning is always theirs, or, you know, the third period of hockey is just where they shine and take things over. Maybe in movies, but for the most part, it doesn't happen like that. Golden State consistently comes back in the third quarter, and they almost kind of suck the life right out of your team. And you saw it in Thursday's game. Steph Curry is a special talent, but you also see how deep this team can be. Like, you know, Jordan Bell was able to come up with 11 points in that game.
Should have been a Blazer, man.
He should have been a Blazer, but if he was a Blazer, he wouldn't have been anywhere as effective. Like, when you play with this Golden State team, you're going to get Kevon Looney, you know, +8 on the floor with 14 points and 7 boards, you know, in that game 3. You pretty much got beat by guys that you shouldn't get beat by if you're the Blazers.
I don't know. Bell, I think, could have been maybe effective against a guy like Draymond Green, personally. You know,
effective.
That's what we were talking about before the show, the fact that, well, you know, the we'll get into that later, the CJ thing. But with Nurk gone, they're vulnerable down there. I mean, you've had some nice flashes from Zach Collins in the playoffs, but flashes, you know. Yeah. And it's not the offense that you're missing from Nurk, it's that defensive presence. And it allowed Draymond Green to just pound the boards, dish the ball, and get some easy buckets. And that's something that Bell could have alleviated. So I agree. I was pounding the table for Bell, you know, a couple years ago.
I think Jordan Bell is one of those guys. He went to U of O. He's, as far as college, a local guy. It's a name that you recognize. And you saw him play in the tournament. And you saw how effective he was without being able to score the ball.
So he understands his role.
I do think he would have been able to help. It's crazy because I don't know, man. There's guys in the Blazers that probably in this situation against the Warriors probably should be in the game. I think Anthony Simons is a guy you could probably use his shooting.
Why not?
Right now in this game. And now that you're going into game 4 and you're down, that's a problem. But this, going back to game 3, you got to look at what Draymond Green is. As you speak of Draymond Green, the game he was able to have. You know, we talk about the triple-double he had last night, which was incredibly impressive, of course. But game 2, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks. Like, Draymond is easily one of the top 2 or 3 defenders, you know, in the league. Like, I think that, and I don't think it's a question, you know. So he's one of those guys that's just pure energy, and he plays so much better when Kevin Durant isn't on the floor. When Draymond Green is playing the way he played in game 2 and in game 3, they're hard to beat.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not a Draymond fan. You know, I think that he is good defensively. I think he's excellent a defender. But I think that you let him bully you, you know. And I back to the point about Jordan Bell, I think that if you have a guy that's physically his equal, that doesn't happen. On our team, we don't have anybody that comes close to a Draymond Green.
No, and the one thing about Draymond, it's and the reason he's such a great defender, it's energy and effort. You know, that's the one thing you can, if you put Draymond in a bottle, it'd be called energy and effort, because that's all he really is. Does he have the most skill? Not really. Does he have a great jump shot? Not really. You know, Draymond is just somebody who's incredibly active. How many times in the past 3 games have you seen the Blazers score, Draymond streak down the other side of the court and get an easy layup just like it was nothing? Like, we've seen that. I saw it 3 times in game 3. But I saw it a few times in game 2, and it's like, when that happens, there's really not much you can do about him. Because, again, you have to have somebody that can match that energy. And if you're the Blazers right now, who matches Draymond's energy? The person that's closest to it is Zach Collins.
Yeah.
And Collins has played, and you mentioned it, Jesse, he's had stretches to where Collins has been incredibly effective, you know, throughout the playoffs. But then he'll have a stretch like in game 2 where he plays 8 minutes and gets 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists. 0 steals.
But, you know, he's a 21-year-old kid.
But you're in. But that's true. But you were also in the Western Conference Finals. And at this point, you need to play your best basketball. We saw a great game from Myers Leonard last night as a starter, which might be the play for the rest of the series, because Myers Leonard is actually very good guarding that pick and roll that Golden State likes to do. You know,
but again, you can't run your offense through Myers Leonard.
Can't run it through Zach Collins.
I mean, at this point, though, maybe you could get some trade value out of him.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
But what I saw from Myers Leonard last night was a team that really kind of struggled to, you know, keep up with – Myers is big, and he's incredibly athletic. And now that – well, and if that three-point shot has fallen for him, man, Myers Leonard could be, you know, a matchup nightmare. It's weird that you say that right now, because we know he won't be. But in a series like this where Golden State, just being real, they aren't incredibly big. Like, you dealt with the bigs from Denver. That was the challenge there. So Golden State, that's where you kind of have at least a bit of an advantage outside of Draymond Green. Okay, we're going to break. We're going to come back. We're going to go ahead and talk about Game 3. Man, what the hell happened? How do you feel? And that's coming up next right here on The Fan.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Apparently, we're talking football today. Man, I'd much rather talk football than Game 3. Like, that sounds way more fun. Yeah, well, I'd much rather talk football than Game 3. But
yeah.
Football Sunday is going to be returning soon, though. I'm glad you played that, because
can't wait.
Football Sunday is going to be back. We're going to be right here 9 to 11. We're giving fantasy updates. We are giving what else? What's the other thing that we do? The West Coast Bias.
West Coast Bias. Yep.
Go talk Niners. A little bit. Go Niners. I mean, not really. all about the Pats, if you know me. So we got a couple texts here on the Better You Today text line. Rashad, Mikes and Turks, correct? Who got left off Bad and Bougie? Not Mike Lynch, because he's always traveling somewhere and doing something. 8 more wins until we get that ship. I mean, that's a very optimistic outlook.
Possibility.
And absolutely, it's a possibility. Probably not going to happen, though. Like I text Dirt and Sprague Friday, in 1927, Pirates had really nice players, but they got swept by the Yankees, a team that easily took their best punches. Yeah, and that's kind of where you are right now. Golden State is a phenomenal team, and the Blazers are a very good team. But you know the Blazers are playing they're playing not without all their pieces. You know, Nurkic, who's the second best player on this team. Or we might have to talk about that, because considering the way CJ's played, man, is Nurkic really the second best player on the team, or is he the third? I don't think there's much between it, but we can get to that at some point. Get Myers a lot of minutes in Game 4, prop him up, then trade his ass. Kind of similar to what Jesse was talking about. No, I think a lot of people aren't going to be mad at trading Myers. He's been a Blazer for... what, 7 years? How long has it been? 8 years?
You know, he came to league. Years? He came to league same year as Dame. So
it's 6 years now? That's, we all kind of have the same.
Gotta look that up. Yeah. I think it's been six.
He's the same year as Dame, and has not had a similar career arc as Dame.
2012.
So what, 7 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's a long time to finally have the best game that you've had. So we're going to go back to Game 3. Golden State wins 114-111. The Blazers outscored them by 13 points in the second quarter and had a 13-point lead going into half.
Deja vu.
And, yeah, shades of Game 2. The Blazers had a 17-point lead. Took it into the third quarter, and it got easily erased by the third quarter.
You know, the thing is, Rashad, is it's just such – we do this all the time. I mean, 2000, we did that against the Lakers in Game 7. We were up 17 points in the second half. It is like something that's ingrained in our DNA.
And similar to that, like, not only were the Blazers up – was it 15 or 17?
17.
17 in the third, going into the fourth.
In the second game.
But – they missed, or at least in Game 7, they missed the first 8 shots that they had, that the Blazers had. And the Lakers capitalized. When you look at what the Blazers did the other night, when Golden State is coming out hot and you're not making shots and you're giving up turnovers and you're giving up easy plays, they're going to come back no problem. With Golden State, you always believe that it's going to be the 3-point shot that does it for you. And in most cases, it is. But this time, they were attacking the basket.
Yeah.
Draymond's attacking the basket. Some guy named... McKinney, man, who is he? He comes in and makes significant 3-point buckets that kind of give them a bit of a jolt. You know, we already talked about what Jordan Bell was able to do with 11 points, and Kevon Looney was able to pitch in with 14 points. You know, Iguodala only had 4. So you really got beat by Steph, Clay, Kevon Looney, and Jordan Bell.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that went ahead and beat. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The score that I just gave was for game two.
Game two.
Forgive me for that. But either way, the Blazers, unfortunately, have shown a lack of energy. And Coach Stotts alluded to that in his interview. He's like, it's not going to be strategy in game four. It's going to be energy and effort. And that's the one thing that they lacked. That pick and roll that Golden State, I don't know why they continue to go under that and let Steph rain threes on you all game. I'm not sure who decides to put CJ on Clay, you know, and I think CJ is can be a pesky defender at points, but Clay Thompson's 6'7",
yeah,
and can shoot the lights out. And that little turnaround jumper that he has is almost unblockable, you know, especially when he's shooting from about 15 to 17 away. Clay is almost unstoppable. So I kind of wonder at times maybe what Stotts is thinking, you know, just because we saw the big change. I think it took a lot of people by surprise. Like, yeah, we're definitely going to lose this game when you figured out Myers Leonard was going to be starting over Enes Kanter. I think that took a lot of people by surprise, because if there's anybody in the starting lineup that's not supposed to be there, it's Al-Farouq Aminu.
Oh, my God. The Chief is one of my favorite players. I'll go on record and say that. Yeah, I mean, because typically his effort is there. And this playoffs, I don't know what's going on.
Al-Farouq Aminu, for me, again, I say it all the time, he reminds me of Travis Outlaw.
Ooh.
He is, yeah. That's what I saw. When you mentioned Aminu, I'm like, oh, really?
Travis Outlaw
is a guy that had a lot of all the physical abilities. He was long. He was athletic. Once he caught fire, he could really, you know, like shoot the lights out on certain nights. But he just couldn't put it together on consistent nights. Like,
he'd
give it to you one night, and then he'll give you 7, 6, 2, 15.
But see, the thing I like about Aminu and Harkless both is that they're not great offensively, but their versatility on defense is great, right? So you can put them on a small forward, a power forward, even a shooting guard. I mean, they can really disrupt things. The problem is they can't shoot. You know, Dame and CJ need some shooters around them. There needs to be somebody that's a knockdown shooter at about 6'6", 6'7". Is that guy out there? I don't know.
It's funny you say that. Just as I look at Bleacher Report at the Blazers section, it says, just watch Draymond on this play. It's simply unfair to Lillard to put Harkless and Aminu on the floor together, allowing Green and Iguodala to play zone.
Absolutely.
That's been happening the entire time. So, I mean, I understand what you say as far as the effort, the energy is there, but sometimes it's not. And Aminu a lot of times looks lost when he's on the floor. Like, he has no idea what he's supposed to be doing. And I'm sure he knows what the play is. But in my head, when I watch him, I just see a guy that's just not ready. Not ready to play.
I wouldn't have as much of a problem with Aminu if he could turn that also into being a little bit more of a thug, right? Like, we don't have anybody that's going to, when Steph's coming around these screens free, stepping up and putting him on his butt. It just doesn't happen. These guys are doing whatever they want to do. Then last night you saw Collins almost got knocked out on the flagrant foul. They have about 2 or 3 players that will not allow us to do anything, but we're letting them do every single thing they want to do.
Last night, Kevon Looney's plus 12 on the floor with 8 points. So not a great game from Kevon Looney, but still able to be effective. Jordan Bell pitched in with 6 points, but it is about one guy, you know, out there if you're the Golden State Warriors, and that one guy is the one that beat you for the second night in a row, really, and that's one Stephen Curry.
Yeah, greatest shooter ever.
Like, I'm not, and we're going to talk, at least I'm going to talk about Steph here in one of our segments here a little bit later, but what can you do, you know, about a guard who took 16 threes, made 6 of them. Percentage, not, you know, not awesome, but at the same time, there's nothing, you want him shooting that ball if you're Golden State. Like, this is just kind of who he is, what he does. Like, I don't know if we've seen many point guards control the ball, control the game with their scoring, but this game was about Steph Curry, you know, rising to the top and the rest of the Blazers just not coming to play. CJ McCollum, again, had another, I guess, strong game, considering that, you know, Steph was the leading scorer with 36. CJ was second with 23, five assists, a couple rebounds in between there. 7 for 20 from the field, 2 for 10. You know, the Blazers from three-point were 11 for 35 as a team.
But look at this. We shot better than they shot.
But the Warriors were 8 for 26. You know, so they were 1% better, 1.4% better from the three-point line than the Warriors. The Warriors had a better, you know, shot the same amount of free throws. So they 20
for 23.
But look
at that free throw percentage.
Yeah, and the Blazers shot 33 free throws. 60%. And they made 20 of them. They missed 13 free throws, which is an additional 13 points. The Blazers lost by how many?
11. We shot like Shaq last night.
You're not going to win. And again, when you play against Golden State, you have to play as perfect as possible. There's very little room for error. When the Blazers play games where they average 4 or when they give around 4 to 7 turnovers, they typically win those games. When you're giving the ball to Golden State, when you're chipping bunnies at the rim, when you're not making free throws, you're just letting them back in the game little by little by little. And then what do you know? They have that big scoring surge that you know is going to happen at some point. Typically the third quarter is when it goes down.
Yeah.
You know it's coming, but you don't do all the things you need to do to execute. The execution for the Blazers through these first three games, especially terrible. Down the stretch, has been
terrible.
Terrible.
Not even close to playoff basketball. We shouldn't even be in the playoffs playing like this.
No, they shouldn't be anywhere near the playoffs, but they are. Here they are in the Western Conference Finals. They're playing against a team that's hungry and wants it more. The Blazers, there was a little bit of a celebration. Dame kind of shed a few tears, you know, after, you know, making it to the Conference Finals. And rightfully so, I understand that's been a long time as a franchise since the Blazers have been there. But for Golden State, this is business as usual.
Absolutely.
You know, they went out there and beat a Houston Rockets team that nobody in Portland wanted to play. And they beat them 4-2 without Kevin Durant for 1.5 of those games.
Yeah. Those facts. You know, the thing is, I've been a Blazer fan since the mid-80s. And it's been a lot of hurt in my fandom. The thing is about this year, though, is I didn't think we were going to beat Golden State. I thought we were going to compete. So seeing us not compete is the thing that's making me the most upset.
I think seeing them not compete, I don't want to say they're not competing. I think they're I don't want to say they've gotten cute either, because I don't think that's fair. But something goes on in the third quarter to where they think this lead is going to sustain itself. Because they're up, that should be the game. Because against any other team, you're probably right. You're playing against Sacramento. You're playing against even Houston, some of those teams. Yeah, okay, you're probably right. You go up 13, it'd be hard to imagine you losing this game. The Warriors, though, are one of those teams, even without Kevin Durant. This, mind you, the team without Kevin Durant is the one that won 73 games.
Right.
The team without Kevin Durant is the one that beat LeBron and Kyrie and company in the first, you know, their first time in the NBA Finals. What, 4-1, 4-2? I can't remember what that series was. So this team, sans Kevin Durant, is still the Golden State Warriors. It's actually the Warriors team that everybody feared before KD got there.
Well, it's like we talked about kind of last week, right? With the pace of play, Golden State has no problem being down at the half.
Nope.
Right? It's what we were talking about last week with Dame. Facilitate. Come out. Get all of the guys involved. Get everybody going, shooting hot. Dame can typically turn it on at any time. Like, come out, get everybody else going. And then what does Steph Curry love to do in the third quarter? Wham, bam, Curry thank things. You, ma'am. Here's 20 points. Yeah. Peace.
Yeah,
we're out. Right. And so Dame did that a couple times this postseason. And that's when the Blazers look their best. And they kind of look like the Golden State Warriors.
True.
And that's the pace of play. It's just like, hey, let's come out. Let's play solid basketball the first two quarters. And then we're going to do the knockout blow coming out of the half. And that's what we're not seeing out of Portland. They're playing their best basketball in the first half. And then letting Golden State give them the knockout blow in the third quarter. Done.
Yeah. So game 3, Warriors take the Blazers down 110-99. Game 4 is tomorrow at 6 p.m. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
6 p.m. on ESPN. So get ready to watch that. If you know, if you want to do some day drinking before that. Because I think the Blazers are going to get one of these games. I think they'll win game four, you know, and we'll talk about game four a little bit later on. So, yeah, it's at this point, backs against the wall is a huge understatement. The Blazers have to come out and show some energy and effort. Okay, coming up next, man, Blazer fans, how do you feel now? A week has changed. Supposed to be a competitive series. Now you're down 3-0. Tell me how you feel. But first, Jesse has SportsCenter.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
So initially, I was asking Jesse to play a song called, you know, How Does It Feel for our next segment? But this actually works out well, too, because I'm going to just move a segment up and move the other one we had back. Who do you most blame for the Blazers' collapse?
Ouch.
As this song is called Till I Collapse by, you know, Eminem and the late Nate Dogg. It brings up an interesting point. You know, there are a lot of fingers being pointed today at the Blazers organization. A lot of people pointing their finger at Stotts, asking about some rotations and why guys like Aminu and Harkless, obviously not Crush. He likes Aminu and Harkless being in the game. But maybe why they're in the game. A lot of people pointing fingers at Damian Lillard about why he's not more effective. And we find out last night, actually, that Dame has been injured since game two with a separated rib after, I forget who was it that landed him. I think it was Looney landed on him when he was going for a loose ball.
I didn't know that.
Apparently Dame has a separated rib, which can be really, if you've never had anything go wrong with your ribs, like it's hard to breathe, it's hard to do, you know, a whole lot of things. Having broken a one before, definitely not a great experience. So hopefully he's able to go and ready to go. A lot of people pointing fingers at the bigs. Zach Collins hasn't been effective. Cantor hasn't been the Cantor that we've been used to seeing over these past few playoff runs, or past few playoff series, excuse me. But who do you most blame, if you're the fans, for the Blazers' collapse? I'll start with you, because you're the biggest. Just be noted, Kenny has a 1977 hat on right now. So he is a huge Blazer fan. He's all about Blazer Mania. He also has a 49ers Super Bowl championship shirt on. It's pretty old.
Yeah.
But he does have one on nonetheless. But I'm curious, just a little dig at the 49ers. So I'm curious, man, as a fan, because you're probably the biggest fan of the Blazers, you know, between the three of us in the room right now.
You know,
who do you most blame for that?
Man, I don't know. The reason I got so mad last night, I don't know where we could have, I mean, other than effort, right? So I guess I blame the collective effort. I saw some effort last night from Myers. I can't deny that. I just got a little irritated with us running the offense through him. That was a little irritating to me. Finding out that Dame is hurt, I can't blame the man if he got a, you know, if he got separated rib. It's no joke. CJ, I mean, you're supposed to be second fiddle, right? You still had 23 points. Your plus minus was minus six, which isn't terrible. You know, Stotts, I do got a little bit of beef with his rotations. I feel like we could have used more Rodney Hood. I feel like we could always use a little less Turner, even though I said I'd never say anything bad about that guy again. It's just a combination of things, man.
You like all the Blazers that everybody is like, man, you got to get rid of this dude. Evan Turner. Because yeah. I saw on your Facebook, he's like, I'll never blame Evan Turner
ever
for anything.
Again. After game seven, man, I'll never again.
I mean, I don't think people get past. So I blame the effort for the Blazers. And that's not really something I can put on Stotts. That's not something I can really throw on top of just Dame's shoulders, you know, although he is the superstar and now he's finally at a point to where he understands what it means to be a superstar, both in a good sense and the bad one.
Right.
Like when the Blazers eventually go down, and I'm knocking on wood here, but it's, you know, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Like against this team, I don't see any team coming back four straight games and beating them. I just don't think that's going to happen. But Dame is finding out that as a superstar, man, it goes on you when you lose.
Yeah.
People aren't going to say, well, that damn CJ, if he'd have done more. No, no one's going to say that. No one's going to talk about the fact that Nurkic wasn't there and he had broke his leg with 4 weeks in the season to go. Like, the blame is going to go directly on top of the huge head of Damian Lillard.
Well, you know, and the scary thing about this is this is not the first time that this has happened to Dame, right? So you go back and you look last year at the Pelican series. It's literally one way you scheme against this guy and you can take him out of the game with our current roster, right? Like, you trap him hard and they can't do anything. Denver did it to us for part of this, actually for most of the series last series, and Dame didn't have a great series. CJ stepped up and took over the series, but you can't depend on CJ McCollum, in my opinion, to do that for 16 games in the playoffs. I mean, that's not what he's there for. He is a great complimentary player. He's never been an all-star. He's one of the better scorers in the league, but physically, he just does not have what you need for somebody to take over a game.
See,
that many times.
I would disagree with that in the sense that I think CJ has grown a lot as a player, not just the grayer, but as a player, but yeah, physically. Like, if you look at CJ now and maybe look at him 2 years ago, the arms, the shoulders, everything, you understand he's not going to grow another 4 inches.
Right.
Like, that's just not going to happen at 26 years old or 27. He's not going to grow another 4 inches. What he can do is take care of his body and make sure he's bigger and make sure that he's not getting trapped as much and make sure that nobody's able to just push him, you know, but just the fact that nobody's really able to push CJ around. You see him getting a lot. He's always been the mid-range king.
Right.
Now it's just so effortless and easy because he can push off a little bit and there's some substance to it. So I think CJ is one of those guys that has grown. And I kind of disagree with the fact that I think he could be an all-star. Jesse and I were talking about this before the show started. CJ is one of those guys that he averages about 23 points a game, but he averages like 2 rebounds and 2 assists. If he got 3 more rebounds and 3 more assists, you're looking at a guy that's averaging 23-5-5 in the Western Conference. That's definitely an all-star.
Yeah.
He's going to be on that all-star team. And again, it goes back to energy and effort. The person I blame the most for the Blazers' collapse is Stephen Curry. Like, it's pretty easy. Like, you're talking about the greatest shooter that we've ever seen in the NBA. Typically, point guards change the game with their ability to get everyone else involved. Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Pistol Pete, all the great point guards and great ball handlers, Chris Paul, all the great guys you can think of through history, their main job, their number one job is to make sure I get you off. And I get the ball to you, and I get the ball to you. Steph has changed that in the sense to where he's the number one option as a scoring point. Typically, what small scoring guard has worked in the NBA? Allen Iverson?
Yeah, Steve Nash,
Iverson,
right?
Steve Nash tried it.
I mean, he got some MVPs, but never got a ring.
He never got a ring. But I think a lot of that was because Phoenix, much like Houston, doesn't really rely on defense. They want to score in 7 seconds, and then they don't want to play any defense. They want to hope the other team misses.
But the thing that baffles me about that is you're right. And Steph Curry has been the most dominant player, but probably the smallest player on the court. So when does Portland make him dust himself off a little bit? Why don't you rough him up a little bit? Not saying you got to be dirty, but they're being really physical with Dame. What's the matter with being really physical with Steph?
No, I think that's the thing. Like, I've never understood why nobody picks up Steph full court. Like, you're just not going to come up and pull up on us. And no one really does that because they're all afraid that Steph is going to breeze past them and just throw something out there. If he throws something up, typically it's going to go in. We got a couple texts here on the Better You Today text line before we get ready to break. I blame the Warriors for the collapse. Just a much better team. I mean, I would tend to agree with that. I think it's talking about CJ. He is not a superstar. He's a star. Or maybe we're talking about Dame. Okay. He's not a superstar. He's a star. Klay Thompson and Chris Paul shut him down all the time, period. Stars can't get shut down. It should be noted that Klay Thompson is one of the two or three. Number one, I think Klay Thompson's the second best two guard in the league. Klay Thompson's also, as far as defense, probably the best guard.
Who you got at number one?
James Harden.
Ooh.
James Harden.
I'm pretty sure Steph Curry's had a couple bad finals appearances.
Yes.
No, I'm just going to go ahead and throw that one out there. You say superstars can't be shut down. Steph Curry has had some bad finals appearances.
Steph Curry allowed Andre Iguodala to be the finals MVP, not Steph Curry. And then it was Kevin Durant. And then it was KD again. So Steph has definitely had some bad playoff games, some bad finals games and stuff like that. Right now, you're just looking at a dude who's he's hitting everything. He's doing Steph Curry-like things. And if there's anybody to blame, it's blame the Illuminati or whoever gave Steph all these powers that he has, because like nobody should be able to shoot the ball as well as he shoots it. He gets a shot from everywhere. Once he gets to the paint, it's like a that's going in. Like, I mean, he can throw it up and it's just going to go in. He's a special talent, and I just honestly don't think that we've ever seen anything like that at the point guard position, and that's where the Blazers are strong as point guard. So no matter what Dame does, he's always going to be overshadowed by Steph because he's just that much better. Yeah. People, there was a conversation literally going on this year. It's like, oh, who would you rather have, Steph or Dame? I'm taking Dame. Dame is doing this. Nah, no, you're not. You're going to take Steph because that's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. We're going to see another Damian Lillard, you know, guys that do stuff like him. We see somebody else with the character and everything Dame has. Not sure. But the skill sets, there's going to be another one like him. I don't know if we're ever going to see a dude that shoots the ball. Steph makes bad shots, terrible shots, but they go in. So you're like, okay.
Facts.
Well, and that's the thing. That just kind of honestly, that to me tells, it's kind of weird, but kind of emphasizes the greatness of Steph Curry. Because you're having this conversation because Steph Curry took a different role with the addition of Kevin Durant, right?
Right.
So it's that same conversation of that you and I were having, Rashad, before the show of, well, CJ looks a lot different when you take Nurkic out of the equation. Well, that's because when you add a third really good player, everybody has to take a different role except for probably the number one player on the team. That would be Dame, right? So CJ doesn't look quite right. This is the unique time where the best player on the team took a different role, sacrificed for the addition of Kevin Durant, and now we're reminded of what Steph was before Kevin Durant because he was willing to sacrifice to add in a great player like that. That to me is what a big part of what makes Steph great. It's the fact that he's able to recognize that and assume a different role and a lesser role so you can bring on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is a special dude, and the Blazers are finding out the hard way. Okay, coming up next, now we're going to ask, how do you feel? Three games down, hopefully four more to go. We'll see how you feel coming up right here on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Well, if you're feeling some type of way, man, let the soothing tenor of D'Angelo kind of calm you down, because last night's loss was a big blow to a lot of people. So it brings me to the question, how do you feel, Blazer fans? Where are you at right now? Is it doom and gloom? Are you just happy your squad made it this far? Were you expecting more? Like, I'm curious, especially as we got to play Golden State. For me, I can tell you what I was thinking. I personally thought that we had a good chance. And we, I mean the Blazers. It's no secret, big Blazer fan here. I thought they could have done this. I thought they could have won game one. They should have won game two. They should have won game three. But here we are.
Here we are.
In an 0-3 hole to what potentially will be the three-time defending NBA champions. I don't know how to feel at this point. I expected this team to compete a little more than they have, especially down the stretch. I could care less about the first quarter and the first half that you had. I want to see a team that closes the game and does it the right way. And so far, that's not the Blazer squad that we've gotten. So far, we've got a team that looks timid in the third and fourth quarter, a team that looks incredibly unsure of themselves and their skills in the third and fourth quarter. I see a guy in Dame that even before this rib injury that we're hearing about, which I'm still a little about in the first place, I saw a guy that is a much different player than we saw in the first couple games against Denver. Towards the end of that Denver series, Dame just didn't look like himself. I don't know if he got hurt, you know, and we saw him at one point wincing at that calf muscle of his. And I think Dame isn't the same dude that we saw in the first series that had all the energy. And I don't know if it was just the fact that he'd be playing against Westbrook, and Westbrook is the trash talker that he is, and there is the bad blood, quote unquote, between the two. Maybe he got up for that game or for that series and just had a point to prove about Westbrook being better than Dame. I don't know what it was. Either way, I'm looking at a guy who doesn't look like the Damian Lillard that we've seen for most of the season. He doesn't look like the first team All-NBA guy that we're used to seeing.
The law averages, man, to me, is showing me that it's game. I mean, I just always want to look back on that Denver or the series last year against New Orleans and the way they took him out of the series and he deferred. He started to do it again last series against Denver, deferred to CJ to the point where luckily CJ put his cape on. This series, there's no cape. At some point, you have to be that guy that you were all season long in the first round, or you have to say, like you said earlier when we were off air, I'm hurt. I'm not able to compete in the way. But I don't want to hear it after now we might get swept. You know, that's like the little homie beating you on the basketball court and he scored game point on you and my finger hurts. You know, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, you know, this game, this series, really came down to one thing, like whose backcourt is going to be better. Whomever's backcourt plays better, that's who's going to win this series. So far, through three games, Golden State's backcourt has been better than Portland's. I think everything else is kind of a wash. Draymond Green is the outlier because there are some games where he could not be very effective, but then when he's moving and got that energy and effort that we talked about earlier, he's hard to slow down and hard to really get to wrangle. So, but I'm still looking at that saying, man, you still got Cantor who could still offset that. Man, you still got Harkless who can have a 7-8 point game and offset that. Rodney Hood has been as good as anyone else throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you have that to counteract with that. Somebody, we got a text here on the Better You Today text line. Did Blazer fan really think this was going to be any different? Yeah, they did. Because here's why. Not having Kevin Durant on the floor changed everything.
Yeah.
For the NBA, really. You know, for a lot of different teams, not having Kevin Durant on the floor changed everything. This Warriors team actually matches up really well with this Blazers team. There's a reason that the Blazers are able to hang around in these games for as long as they're able to hang around. They actually match up really well.
Man, we were 2-2 this year.
It's Stephen Clay on this side, and then you got Dame and CJ on that side. You can match up with those shooters. They don't have all the guys coming off the bench that they used to have, and now you're seeing guys like Looney kind of having more of a presence, you know, because he's got a bigger role now, but the bench isn't the same for Golden State. So, yes, if there is any opportunity that you had to come in there and steal some games and make some noise, you were supposed to win game one. I don't care what anybody says. I know what the score says, but the Blazers should have won game one. They were up 17 and should have won game two. They let it go in the third quarter. They were up 13 and made some bonehead moves and decisions down the stretch. Should have won game three, but they didn't. So that's three opportunities they had there, and they were right there with that team, and they just kind of let it go towards the end of the game. And it really comes down to Clay and Steph have just been flat out better than Dame and CJ.
Yeah,
that's just what it is.
You know, the crazy stat here I'm looking at, Steph outscored Dame by 15 points. I mean, even more than that, 17 points. It's not even close, and to the point where the scheme has to come into play. Are we not guarding Curry like they're guarding Dame?
I just think it's just one of the, like, Steph is, there's no guarding him. Like, there's nothing you can do. Like, what else can you do? Like, you throw every look at Steph. I'm pretty sure every single coach, all 30 of them in the NBA, have sat down and said, how do we stop this dude? And none of them have been able to do it. Like, let's let LeBron guard him. Here's 30, LeBron, take that. Hey, let's let Jimmy Buckets guard him. Here, you take 32, Jimmy Buckets. Like, all the great defenders that are in the league that can guard, that think they can guard Steph, like, he's torching them all because he's just that good. Like, and so I don't know if there is a game plan for Steph. I don't know if there's a game plan for Clay. You know, if we're talking about Steph being the greatest shooter of all time, Clay is probably second. Definitely second.
That's a good argument for that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Clay is definitely second. Like, I mean, he's broken that three-pointers in a season record twice.
But, you know, he had a very pedestrian game last night. I mean, he 19 points, 8 of 20 shooting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we did a pretty good job on him. But granted, he did ISO on CJ, and he did whatever he wanted to do. But, you know, it just comes down to the effort. It always comes back to that with me last night at this game. I just feel like we don't want, like KD said, we do not want to go to the finals.
Effort has been the word of really that's been going around in the Blazers locker room. Terry Stotts said the Blazers fell apart in the second half and called for improved energy levels in game 4 at the Moda Center on Monday. This is a quote from Stotts that says, we're going to give it our best effort Monday. I mean, that's all that matters. We have to give our best effort. Strategy no longer matters. No, it's not about strategy no more. You know what you're supposed to do, and your strategy has worked. Here's the cold
First
part.
Half.
The strategy has worked just fine.
Back-to-back games.
And I'm not sure what they're doing at halftime and if the Warriors are taking or drinking Michael Jordan's secret stuff like during before they come back on the court. But either way, it's not working. The halftime adjustments, I don't know if they think because they're winning that we don't have to adjust and we're doing what. No, because you know that adjustment is coming for the Warriors. And you have to be able to have a counterpunch. And it seems like through three games, the Blazers have had no way to counterpunch what the Warriors are able to do.
I agree. I mean, you know, and that's really funny that you say that. They come out in the third quarter. We gave up that 15-point lead in game two in 2 minutes. I mean, just like that, it took a whole half to build it, and they took it away in 2 minutes.
Real easy.
Like it was nothing. Almost like they're resting the players in the first half and telling them get ready for the second half. You know, yeah. They're just playing a half
it's
a game
of
basketball.
It's two different games. The first half, again, Blazers spirits were up and through the roof, and I'm still sitting there kind of looking like, okay, guys, we've seen this. Let's chill. We haven't won this game. Make sure they come out and play defense. And they're able to score after Golden State's able to get a bucket.
Yeah.
When Golden State goes on these runs and they're not able to answer, that's what ends up doing you in. Okay. Coming up next, hour two, we're going to talk about our keys to game four. How can the Blazers try to get back on track? That's coming up next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.